take things without paying. You're the only person I've met who paid and left his stuff.
I'm a very poor thief, then.
Ben moved the bin into the dubious shade of the vaporator. He scratched his head.
I'm sorry for the trouble of the other day. I hope there weren't any damages. I should be apologizing to you.
It's a friendlier store than that, she said.
When I didn't see you again, I was afraid they'd scared you off.
Ben looked around.
No, I've been busy.
To Annalene, this side of the house looked like bazaar day for the Jawas. Lots of gear sitting around and gathering sand. And while the doorway to the house was here, the door was not. The burlap curtain she'd sold him hung across the entrance.
The former residents left me with a work in progress, Ben said.
A while ago, it looks like.
Yes. I'd thought to build my own home, but that's more involved than I'd expected, he said.
But there seems to be no shortage of abandoned buildings.
You should at least get a door.
Ben looked amused.
Are you trying to sell me something else?
Just afraid you're going to freeze at night.
A lot of this stuff needs to be inside, in fact.
She walked toward the EOP pen.
And you need to get a tarp over this feed, or it'll be baked in an hour.
Will the EOP care?
No, but you might if you have to live around her.
Ah.
Ben craned his neck.
I was just putting a tarp over my funnel plants.
No, those need to breathe.
They won't get drier than they already are.
Then everything balances out, he said,
lifting the cover from the gritty foliage.
I was afraid of a sandstorm.
Then you've seen one before.
Anyone who has would be afraid.
But no, if you see the rock hornets start to swarm, then you can worry.
They beat the forecast half the time.
Ben nodded.
Home delivery and the weather report. This is fine service. It's how I maintain my monopoly.
I keep my customers alive.
She pointed to the hood sewn to the collar of his shirt.
For example, if you're going to keep working out here, I'd put that up before double noon.
He laughed.
I did survive before I met you, you know.
But he dutifully donned the cowl. Annalene smiled.
Just looking out for you.
Ever hear of Jelly and Brune?
No.
There's a reason for that. She reached for the canteen strapped around her shoulder and offered it to him. When Ben declined, she took a swig and continued.
Brune was a great Hollywood actor when I was a kid. My mother loved him. Anyway, he came to Mos Espa for some race story he was acting in, and he caught the bug. Fell in love with the desert.
The guy was raised in total privilege, and he sets eyes on the Jundland wastes and becomes obsessed.
Annalene cocked her head over her shoulder toward the rocky hills and snorted.
I can't imagine why.
Continue. So Brune buys a dump out here, no offense, and tells people he's doing research on his own production, a desert epic. And off he goes.
Ah. And no one ever saw him again.
Yes and no.
He survived all right.
Showed up in Bastien 6 months later looking 20 years older. The suns and the wind ripped him up something awful. It looked like someone taken a plast torch to his face. His own agent didn't recognize him, and his studio wanted nothing to do with him. She pointed to the EOP munching away, its head under the tarp, now covering the trough.
Take it from Rue. Keep your hood on, or you'll dry out like a sack of gore millet.
They said nothing for a moment. Finally, Ben picked up his tub of goods and started toward his doorway.
So are you an actor?
She asked. Ben chortled.
No.
Not out here painting pictures? Not writing about life in the desert?
Or in general?
Ben drew back the curtain just enough to set the supplies inside. He closed it before she could see anything.
No, there is nothing to tell. I am really quite uninteresting, except to wayward banthas.
Right.
thanks for the supplies. I won't put you to such trouble again. Ben turned toward the debris-laden yard.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have much to do.
How long are you staying?
Ben stopped in his tracks and gave her a look.
A look, she thought, that said in the most pleasant but firm way that the interview was over.
Annalene backed down the slope toward her land speeder.
Well, you know where we are if you need anything. And I almost forgot. 4 days from now, there's a big race at Mos Espa.
If you'd like to see what the store looks like without so many rude idiots around,
that's your chance.
She looked keenly at him.
People depend on one another around here. It's no place to live alone.
Atop the rise, Ben cracked a small smile.
To hear you talk, anyone in my care would be dead in 5 minutes.
We'll see, she said, turning back to her speeder.
See you, Ben.
If he's hiding, he's new at it, she thought, settling into the driver's seat. In her years of running the store, Annalene had seen her share of people trying to disappear. From spouses, from Republic Justice, from the huts. There had even been one runaway from a traveling circus. One thing she'd noticed. In an area where everyone knew everyone else's business, the more nondescript someone tried to seem, the more curious the neighbors became. You needed a label, so people could forget about you. She'd always joked that when her kids finally drove her to run to the hills, she'd become known as the crazy lady who stewed Minox for dinner. Maybe Ben would figure that out, she thought as the engine revved. But he was certainly failing at shooing away interest. The man looked, well, sad whenever he thought she wasn't looking. Anyone like that just had to have a story. Pulling away, Annalene circled a rock and looked back up the bluff. She saw Ben looking up at the suns and removing his hood. Strange. Back at Danner's claim, the hands from the Galt fields were in and gorging. Jabe was among them, back from Bastine. He didn't look up when his mother walked in. She stepped past the diners to the tap to refill her canteen. Two trays balanced on each arm, Callie paused to study her.
You forgot the drickle fruit.
You're the drickle fruit, Annalene said, walking toward the back. Any messages?